May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 64. Sovereign ruler of the skies, ever gracious, ever wise, all my times are in thy hand, all events at thy command. Hymn number 64.
Thank you. May the Lord help us to read together from the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Joshua, chapter 2. And Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out of Shittim two men to spy secretly, saying, Go view the land, even Jericho. And they went and came into a harlot's house named Rahab and lodged there. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, Behold, there came men in hither tonight of the children of Israel to search out the country. And the king of Jericho sent unto Rahab, saying, Bring forth the men that are come to thee, which are entered into thine house, for they be come to search out all the country. And the woman took the two men and hid them, and said thus, There came men unto me, but I wist not whence they were. And it came to pass about the time of shutting of the gate, when it was dark, that the men went out. Whither the men went, I wot not. Pursue after them quickly, for ye shall overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof of the house and hid them with the stalks of flax, which she had laid in order upon the roof. And the men pursued after them the way to Jordan, unto the fords. And as soon as they which pursued after them were gone out, they shut the gate. And before they were laid down, she came up unto them upon the roof. And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you, when ye came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And the men answered her, Our life for yours, if ye utter not this our business. And it shall be, when the Lord hath given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with thee. Then she let them down by a cord through the window, for her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. And she said unto them, Get you to the mountain, lest the pursuers meet you, and hide yourselves there 3 days, until the pursuers be returned, and afterward may ye go your way. And the men said unto her, We will be blameless of this thine oath which thou hast made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, by which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of thy house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him. And if thou utter this our business, then we will be quit of thine oath which thou hast made us to swear. And she said, according unto your words, so be it. And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And they went and came unto the mountain, and abode there 3 days until the pursuers were returned. And the pursuers sought them throughout all the way, but found them not. So the 2 men returned and descended from the mountain and passed over and came to Joshua the son of Nun and told him all things that befell them. And they said unto Joshua, truly the Lord hath delivered into our hands all the land. For even all the inhabitants of the country do faint because of us. Well, friends, may the Lord bless that portion of his word. May he give us insight into some of these Old Testament themes, friends, as much in them if the Lord would but open it up to us. May he grant us that gracious help in prayer. Most holy Lord God of Israel, we do come before thee this morning, and Lord, we pray that thou would look upon a few poor, wretched, lost, undone, vile, black sinners that are before thee now. And not least, the poor sinner in the pulpit. Each of us, Lord, we are undone. Cannot we say, like one of old, behold, I am vile. But Lord, oh, do help us as we come to thy courts to confess our sins. Not as those that would confess the sins before men, perhaps the sins of the last week, perhaps the sins of the last few days. May we even say the last few hours. No, not before man, but before thee, to lay these things up and to plead before thee that thou would forgive us for our iniquities, for they are great. Oh, the wandering heart. Oh, the feebleness of our faith. Oh, the lack of belief. Oh, Lord, these are sins. But as well as those other sins of thought, word and deed, Lord, thou knowest, as we come before thee then this morning, we have nothing to offer. Oh, but the words come in, Lord. Nothing but sin I thee can give. Or may it be so for a poor sinner to this day. Nothing but love will I receive. Oh, Lord. Oh, do come and give us a token of thy love, a special token, a special a smile, a whisper. With thee it shall go well. Ah, I love thee well, my child. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Oh, Lord, how can that be? And we started our prayer saying how about our blackness and our vileness, but the beauty of the gospel, when the Lord Jesus appears and whispers peace. And oh, Lord, we pray for that whisper in poor sinners' hearts today, and may they have come seeking it. And may they have come, Lord, begging. May they have come truly on the stretch. Or, Lord, as one friend spoke before, desperate for the word of God. Lord, we want a few poor desperate sinners here this morning to help, Lord, as it were, draw the word out. It's thy work. It's nothing to do with man, whether it be man giving out the hymns or in the pulpit. Lord, it's thy work. Do come, dear Jesus. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou wilt make one in our midst, that this day will be a day of days, a day to remember, a day in which the Son of Man is seen. Lord, do come, dear Jesus. Oh, do set us at liberty. Oh, Lord, we pray that we will know something of the presence of the Holy Spirit, that there might be that gale of grace. Lord, March is a month of winds, but may there be the wind, the gale of grace, blow up and down the pews, up and down the pews here at Swavesey Chapel today, that souls will be so favoured with the Holy Spirit coming into the midst, Lord, and they will feel touched and they will feel that he has come to favour them, that the set time to favour Zion is come. Oh, Lord, hear our prayers, we beseech of thee. We are such poor sinners in prayer, but Lord, that we might cry and cry again, that thou wilt come, that we will truly feel the presence of the Holy One in the midst. Ah, the Lord is powerful. He is full of majesty. Oh, that we might see him clothed in majesty this day. Lord Jesus, do appear, we do beg. And oh, we do pray that souls will be fed. Oh, feed us a bread of heaven. Feed us till we want no more. And may it be so, that thou wilt let fall those crumbs that fall from the master's table. Oh, may there be some dogs here to eat it today, Lord. Oh, friends, we wouldn't, as it were, put the friends down in any way. But, Lord, we're wonderful if we've got a few needy dogs here. Lord, thou knowest. Oh, we'll ever be low if we know anything of real religion. But what a merciful thing that the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Lord, the crumbs. May there be some crumbs today for this poor sinner and that poor sinner. Oh, Lord, do come. Feed souls. Oh, that they may not empty go away. What does the hymn writer say, Lord? Oh, remind us of it. Compassion have on us, we pray. And empty send us not away. Oh, Lord Jesus, then we do pray that it may be a special day. Lord, thou knowest. We do plead for the dear friends here. Pray for deacons with their responsibility and care of this place. That, Lord, they will be strengthened. That, Lord, they will be emboldened by the hand of God, the hand of grace. That they will prove the Lord is with them in the choice of the hymns, in the expediting of the responsibilities to run this place. Lord, we do pray thou would hear their prayers for this people. Thou would hear their prayers for the servants of God that come in and out from this pulpit. Thou would hear their prayers, Lord, for the church. Thou would hear their prayers and remember their exercises. And thou knowest what they're exercised in, Lord. Oh, and the church as well. The church here, the exercises that they carry, thou knowest. Man does not know, but thou knowest. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt work with them in those things. And that, Lord, thou wilt hear and answer prayer. And thou wilt be with them in the burdens. And thou wilt be with them in the concerns. And, Lord, we're so thankful that there have been no signs following in this court of God. In the last 18 months or so, with those that have joined the church and even one this year, Lord, the work of thy grace still going on. But Lord, it comes straight into our mind. Where are the nine? Where are they, Lord? Bring them yet. Oh, we pray that thy work will continue. Souls will be moved to come and tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. But he's found them. He's found them. He's found them as lost, fallen sinners. And now they must come and point to his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. Oh, Lord, we beg that souls will have to do it. And not just here, but in other hills of Zion, there will be that time of favour, those times of mercy. And Lord, we do pray there might be that real burden here of the church and the congregation for the future. And thou knowest, Lord, what that means. Lord, but we also pray that regarding the empty pews, Lord, they are a favoured people numerically for these days, but oh, it's not numbers, Lord. It's the Holy Spirit in the presence, but still there are the empty pews. And Lord, it is our desire that there may be that real burden and exercise that thou will go out into Swavesey and into Over and into the outlying villages and compel them to come in. Those that, Lord, are to be true followers and seekers after the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we feel it is incumbent upon us not just to accept the status quo in these things, but to plead, Lord, that if there are those of thy dead elect, that thou will bring them in to worship with us here and with them here. Lord, we pray. Oh, do remember them then as a people. Remember the souls that have come in this morning. Oh, may there be a soul strengthened by the opening hymn, beautiful hymn, Lord. Oh, it can never wear out, never will wear out. My times are in thy hand, says the psalmist. My times. Oh, Lord, may the young friends prove it. The young friends that have those things that they face, perhaps at work, perhaps in exams coming up in that season at school, or perhaps at college, maybe in their responsibilities. But Lord, remember the young friends. Keep them here fast by thy maidens in the house of God. Encourage them in the truth. Enable them to pray. Bring them to prayer. And Lord, squeeze prayer out of them. May they prove that the Lord will have them to pray. Lord, turn their feet to Zion's hill. And all those that have wandered, we each have them in our families. They will not be in the courts of Zion today. But Lord, turn their feet yet to Zion's hill. Work in them, Lord, that which only thou canst. Oh, we do pray, seek and plead, that the prodigals shall and must return. Lord, keep us in prayer for them. Oh, we do pray. Well, Lord, we do pray for the dear young friends then in all their concerns and cares. Go before them. May they prove that they may cast all their care upon him, for he careth for you. But Lord, we do pray there will be with those in middle age, and those parents, Lord, give them strength, help and wisdom in these challenging days to bring up children. Much prayer, and Lord, we do pray that much guidance will be given from above. And we pray, Lord, thou wilt be with them, Lord, as they balance those many responsibilities and cares, but above it, in it all, Lord, to seek thee and to continue to pray unto thee that there may be daily strength given. And the friends that are retired, in all that means, oh, it doesn't mean coming away from trouble, Lord. It doesn't mean coming away from burdens. It doesn't mean coming away from the Lord Jesus. Oh, no. Oh, it doesn't mean that all is at ease. Far from it, Lord. We do pray for the souls of the friends that are retired and those that are in older age. We pray for each one that they may have to prove that their daily strength is from the Lord, their daily help. Nay, their hourly help even. Oh, no help in self I find, and that's where they are. Yes, no help there. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he alone who is able to help. But when most Each of us, whatever age, whatever generation, when most we need his helping hand, that we might prove, yes, that he is near. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. We do pray, Lord, for the nation and the nations of the world with the coronavirus. What a judgment that thou hast brought, a judgment for sin. May we, Lord, pray that amongst thy people they will be preserved. They may, Lord, in thy wisdom contract this illness. But, oh Lord, that we might be praying to be preserved, and those that are of weaker constitution and older, to be preserved. Lord, give us much prayer in this, and much prayer for the nation, for wisdom in handling this. And Lord, we do pray for thy mercy upon us in this day of judgment. It is a judgment, Lord. Oh, to acknowledge it rightly. And we do nothing but deserve it as a nation. But, oh Lord, do hear our prayer. Hear the prayer of the remnant. We do pray, dear Jesus. And, oh, thou says this, that thou art a, we are a garden, walled around, chosen and made peculiar ground, and thou wilt watch over thy people. We've sung it. Lord, no sickness can come upon us except that it is in thy hand. Oh, Lord, may we not then be left to sensational actions in any way regarding this virus, but laying the matter up in prayer before thee, both individually, and that we might on behalf of our nation and the very nations of the world. Lord, we do pray for thy ministering servants this day. Do help even each and every one. Give them mouth, matter and wisdom, Lord. We pray for our own dear pastor, Lord. We thank thee for strengthening him again following his breakdown. We do pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless him today in his own soul and help him in the ministry of the word. We pray, Lord, for each one of thy servants and those that thou hast recently sent out. And Lord, what an encouragement in our little denomination the last couple of years. Thy hand has been seen in thrusting men out into the ministry. Lord, is there not a work still to be done? Oh, do use men, Lord, in thy power and according to thy glory and gracious, holy, divine will. Oh, Lord, do appear. Oh, Lord, we do pray that thou would help this poor sinner. Lord, weighed down. Oh, we do hope there's a few poor sinners in the pew that feel weighed down, because there's one in the pulpit that feels it, Lord. So weighed down, the weights that are, as it were, upon us, that our feet are leaden, and they are in the things of the ministry, leaden. And perhaps as friends, Lord, here today, they feel leaden in the things of spirituality. Ah, Lord, we pray that thou would loosen them and set them free, so that they will run. Ah, a lame man shall leap as a hart. May it be so, Lord. Do come, dear Jesus. We beg it, and forgive our poor prayers, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 143. Rock of ages, cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Hymn 143.
Of ages past.
Needing so much the help of the dear Lord, I would direct your prayerful attention to a few words in the chapter we read, Joshua chapter 2, verse 12, literally the last clause, friends. These words, "And give me a true token, and give me a true token." I'll read the two verses because this sits in between them. "Now therefore," the words of Rahab to the spies, "Now therefore I pray you, swear unto me by the Lord, since I have showed you kindness, that ye will also show kindness unto my father's house, and give me a true token, and that ye will save alive my father and my mother, and my brethren and my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death." And give me a true token. Friends, an exercised child of God will enter into the house of God desiring a true token, I believe, from time to time. Nay, often they will be on the stretch. They will desire that the Lord would speak to them. I wonder if any of our congregation today have really come up on the stretch for a blessing, have really come up seeking that the Lord would give them a portion for their never dying soul today. I hope so, friends. And I hope if you have, you might be encouraged by the word. You know, I believe that for a good part of the hour and three quarters that I drove to this chapel this morning, I was begging the Lord would confirm this word. I didn't know how he would do it, but he's so kind and gracious. And our dear friend, he used the word true in his prayer. A true blessing he asked for in prayer. A true blessing. You know, it broke me down. I thought, that's the Lord, that's what we need. Have you come in, friends, this morning desiring a true blessing? Because if you've come in this morning desiring a true blessing, you may not receive it today. I hope you do, but you will receive it another time. Because it's, friends, religion, true religion, is more than notion. Something must be known and felt. And if the Lord has given you those feelings and those desires, they're not in nature. They're not in nature, friend. They're given from God above, working in you, moving in you to feel that you must. What is it? The very word is this, is do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. Poor soul, have you got such a case this morning? A case in your soul? A case in your life circumstance? Oh, we sang of it, beautiful. At the smallest circumstance in our life. Something in the week ahead. Something in the months ahead. Maybe a word for the church. You need guidance and direction in a particular matter. Friends, I don't know. Give me a true token. So, as you've come up, and as I have come up to the house of God, that our very, as it were, our very being is on the real stretch that something would be done. Oh, how we felt it in prayer, that there may be that recorded and done this day, written in the annals, as it were, of God's glory, that there is something to be done today in a poor sinner's heart, that they might see the Rock of Ages that we've sung of and realise this rock is their safety, this rock alone. Friends, so wonderful is God's word that the Lord Jesus Christ chooses the worst of sinners. Oh, where is Rahab going to sit in this chapel, friends? Because she's singing in glory. She's singing in glory, friends. Now, praising her God. We know what she was. We know what a sinner she was. And you and I would despise that. We do. But she's singing his praises. Oh, my dear friends, the vilest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his or her need are welcome. And they're not just able to come, friends. They're not just able to come. They're welcome to the Saviour, to come to him. Oh, friends, you know, this story that we read is so beautiful, isn't it? Firstly, she had observed. You know, I saw our first hymn so much in this chapter that we read, because the providence of God that these two men should go to Rahab's house, they should go there. You've been visited in your house, have you, by the Lord Jesus Christ? I must come to thy house today. Solemn, isn't it, to think of some of the things and, you know, the Lord coming and seeing us in our house. He does, my friends. He sees us. Searches our heart, doesn't it? But you see, there was that in this, that it must be this house. It must be this house. And so they came, the two spies came to this house, and they come and they see Rahab, and of course she gives them place to go to. They're hidden by the flax. Now, I understand the flax in Egypt would grow to 3 or 4 feet long. So it was fairly easy to hide them behind the flax. And I'll tell you something else, friends, something that she did wrong. She told a very clear lie, didn't she, that they weren't in the house, that they'd gone and sent the men after them, that they'd left the gate and gone out of the city, when in fact they were still in her house, young friends. Don't lie. Ask the Lord that he would help you not to lie, not to tell. You know, they tell us that there's a white lie. You sort of cover up the truth. Friends, I've done it. You've done it. May we be kept from lying. What does the hymn writer say? Though I say it very low, he hears it in the sky, says the children's hymn. You know, it's true. What teaching there is in this, before we come to our text in the background, what teaching there is for us not to always try to tell the truth. As it was, the Lord turned it into good. As it was, the Lord forgave her because she was of the household of faith. Same as you and I, we started in prayer. We need that forgiveness, don't we? That only the Lord can give us for our sins. But you see, then she says, we know, we've heard of the deliverances that your God have given you. You know, she desired this God. She desired a true blessing of this God, I believe, friends. I really do. And oh, what a desire. You know, I feel very much, friends, that those of you that have come to chapel today with a real desire in your heart, you know, you will feel softened a little by this word. I can't soften you at all, but the Lord can. But I feel you will. If you've really come up seeking a word, it will soften you. Because it will give you a little hope that the Lord will yet give you that full assurance or that particular word that you desire, that particular leading, whatever it is, that he will yet come. You know, I do believe there's so much of desires in religion. Desire. Ah, those feeble desires, poor sinner. Those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids you still seek. The enemy won't. He'll tell you to give up asking that the Lord will give you a token. He'll ask you to give up this prayer, give me a true token. It is a prayer. He'll ask you to give it all up. Friends, he's such an enemy. You know, I hadn't driven 3 miles out of Staplehurst this morning, and we've got a lot of water down our way, and the ditches are full, and I was shocked at this thought that came into my mind, and this is how the enemy works. He said, drive into that ditch and you won't have to go to Swavesey. Friends, I'm being open with you. This is how the enemy works. He didn't want me to come here today. And friends, that's how he will work with you at times.
He will give those insinuations. Ah, the Lord will never appear in that matter that you're praying over. The Lord will never appear and give you a real token. He will never appear and show you that your sins are forgiven. He will never appear and give you that the hope of heaven. He will never appear again. He won't come again. You've had all your blessings and that's it. He might tell you that you won't be blessed in your final hours. That you'll have to walk those hours alone. Oh, what an enemy he is, friends. And he's ever close at hand. Oh, do pray that the Lord will give you strength to rebut him, to ignore him. You know, friends, I tell you, I was truly shocked with the thoughts that came into my own mind this morning. Ah, he says, you only need to go a little way in, not damage your car. There won't be too much of a problem, but you won't have to preach. And you can go and listen to your pastor at Staplers. No. No. Oh, get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, I desire then a real blessing, a real word, a true, true, a beautiful word that is, isn't it true? A true token. That's what we need, friends, isn't it? May the Lord grant a true token to a poor sinner. If one poor sinner has a true token today, the enemy will prove to have been a liar. He will, my friends. Because you see, the Lord must work. I will work. And who will let it? That is, who will stand in the way or prevent it? Well, you see, this Rahab then, she then sees that the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. She acknowledged God. She saw what God had done. And maybe that's where you are. You've seen what God has done in others. You've seen his work in others. You may have seen it recently here. The pool has been opened and a friend has come through. You've seen it and you've longed for that for yourself. Or those of you that have gone before, you've longed that the Lord would speak to you again. Those times when you were, as it were, in your early days. When you felt that every time you came there was a portion for your soul and you fed and you took it away and it was wonderful to you. And now it's nothing but barrenness and dryness and emptiness. Friends, go on praying. Because it's so much of our religion is desires, you know. That, and those desires put in our heart by the Lord Jesus, we won't have them. We don't have that real desire for religion, you know, friends. I don't mind whether we've been 20, 30, 40 years in the way. We still backslide. We still find the things of this life more interesting than the things of chapel. Ah, give me a true token. Do you know, our friend using that word true in his prayer, as I said, it was so lovely. True. Oh, I don't want a false token. I don't want to take a token for myself. No, I want thee to give me a token. Show me some token, Lord, for good. Some token of thy special love. Says the hymn writer. We sing it often, don't we? Show me that I am born of God and that my treasure is above. Show me. All is the Lord's. Nothing of us. You know, I gave that hymn out once, 736. And our dear pastor, late pastor, Mr. Cottenham, he spoke of it in his sermon. It's such a blessing to him because it confirmed his text that day. And I had a young person come up to me after that service and they said, how do you choose the hymns? I said to them, this morning I chose it from the clock face, the digital clock face on our oven. And he looked at me and he said, well, isn't there something deeper than that? I said, no, it said 736 and that hymn went straight into my heart and I had to give it out. Friends, the Lord's ways are past finding out. And he will speak to us in a number of different ways, won't he? Oh, don't ever lay the chalk lines down, as the old ministers used to say, for the Lord to work within. Friends, he has his own way. His sovereign purposes. And I do believe that where the deacons are truly exercised about giving those hymns out, as we felt our first one this morning was such a help to us. But you see, where the deacons who exercised, the Lord will use various means. And the same we've given of the word to you and to I, friends. Oh, we have to learn in that. Give me a true token. Give me the right hymn. Give me the right exercise. So for hungry souls here this morning, you know, there'll be an echo. Give me a true token. Because you see, if we've had tokens in the past, the tokens of his love, they touch us so much, we want another token, friends. Oh, we'll never dry up of this, will we? I don't believe we will if we're true seeking souls. I really don't believe we will. Oh, we want another token and another one. Oh, friends, beautiful, isn't it? It really is. You know, David said that, show me a token. We don't know when he wrote the 86th Psalm. But we know David walked through many deep pathways. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed. Oh, yes, David had to prove that the Lord did show him tokens right from the very beginning. What a token. You know, I think we go back with David and we see a poor shepherd boy out in the fields. He's been left behind. And it comes into my mind, and there is Samuel, and he's got his oil, and he's got to anoint one. Oh, my friends, the work of the Lord, he chooses the feeblest, the weakest. This was a true token, you know, to that man Samuel. You know, you don't read in Samuel where it records of this. He said, are these all thy sons? Are these all thy sons? I've seen the big, strong, mighty ones. And you know, none of them are to be king. Oh, friends, no. Ah, but there is one. He's out in the fields. So they bring him in. And it says he's of, you know, he's a fair-faced, isn't he? And good to look upon. Samuel looked upon him and the Lord spoke. Arise and anoint him, for this is he. This is the work of the Lord, friends, and his work alone in all things. Arise and anoint him. And you know, friends, we prove it to be so. The Lord's guidance, direction, leading, a true token. And so he has to anoint him and put the oil upon him. And we know from there, David goes, not long afterwards, gets into trouble, doesn't he? Because Saul has slain his thousands, they say, as he plays the harp. And David has sung has killed his 10,000s. Wow. And so jealousy comes in, and we read the Spirit of God was upon David from that time. And we read the Spirit of God went from Saul from that time. Friends, if the Spirit of God is upon you and it's upon me, you'll have the prayer of our text. You really will. And so will I. Give me a true token. I believe there will be those times when it will be an imperative that the Lord speaks to you. And we hear and know of those. We've read, many of us have read of different ones of the Lord's people that have gone up to the house of God for the last time. The very last time. And I think of one case that comes to mind. Dear John Warburton, you know, we love his book and I'm sure you do too. But you know, that dear man, he felt something of his sinnership, but he felt that everything was with him, it was lost. And he listened to a sermon on a Sunday morning in London, and it was, cursed is every one that doeth not the full completeness of the law. Cursed is every one. And those words were with him, but he so felt he needed a token, and yet... He saw a gathering of people outside a chapel in Cannon Street. Mr. Roby's chapel it was in those days. Can I go in? No, he felt he could not go in. But then he must go in. This is the last time. The last time. Oh, friends. You know, This is how the Lord works sometimes, the very last time. And he goes in. And because he felt that there was a little hope, perhaps. Perhaps a little hope, although he felt in so much darkness. Well, you know that dear man, when he ends his prayer, he said, a poor sinner's come in today for the last time. If he has, may the Lord bless him. Oh, he felt raised up even before the sermon had started. But the Lord brought that servant to speak from this. Thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. And it broke his heart because he was thought such a rebellious man. And that the Lord might, God might dwell among them. Oh, he was so blessed. He went away, you know, he said he went in the middle of a field and sang out loud to the Lord Jesus Christ until it was the last time. Oh, friends, and that's it. Give me a true token. Keep praying. Keep seeking. Oh, keep pleading, poor sinner. You know, you may not, as I say, go away with a token this day, but may you be encouraged. May you be encouraged by this word and give me a true token that it's the very feeling and essence and desire of your heart. And the Lord's put his finger upon it by the very text. He's put his finger upon it because that's how the Lord's people go on, step by step. Oh, it's not an easy way to heaven. It's not an easy journey, friends. And it isn't going to be so. A true token. A token of the truth. As it says in the Hebrew, a token of the truth. That's what we want, isn't it? Oh, we don't want anything false. We don't want to build up our own religion. We don't want to cement things with natural cement, as it were, in religious things, by learning things off by heart and saying, well, that's a word. I'll have that word. It's useful. It's helpful to me. I do believe each of the Lord's people will know what it is at times to see a comfortable word and they feel, oh, that's helpful, and ponder it and maybe even walk in taking it to themselves. Friends, well, I've done it. Oh, we need the Lord. You know, we need this. We need the Lord to confirm his word, but he does. He sweetly does. Wait for it, friends. Wait for the confirmation of the Lord, the fleece wet and the fleece dry. But oh, that desperate, desperate way. You know, we do become desperate. A friend that mentioned that word, she didn't know how much it was upon my mind this morning. That very word, that's how we are before the Lord. Desperate for a word. You know, my dear father was absolutely desperate on a Lord's day. Before the Lord's day, as the ministry, the exercise of the ministry was heavy upon him as a weight. And there it was upon him. And friends, you know, he so sought that very Lord's day, the Lord would bless him and bring it to a final close that he could go before the church because there was a church meeting scheduled in. That Sunday morning, he wakes with a migraine. And he used to get bad migraines. And it would mean the whole Sunday he wouldn't be able to go to chapel. Oh, the enemy's going to have his say. You know what that is, do you? When the very time you seek something and you want to be in chapel and the Lord prevents it. Or something stands in the way. Ah, friends, he will work in his time and in his way. According to his holy sovereign will. That evening, still poorly. But the deacon comes. Now, you see, my dad, he'd been so blessed under that hymn 906, which says above it, I will instruct thee. He'd been so blessed under that regarding the ministry, and he felt that was the only way he could go into the ministry. Indeed, what a way to go, friends. Well, I will instruct thee. Oh, where shall I find a guide to direct, right, skillful and kind and brave to protect? Where will we find him? I'll read the hymn, friends. It's beautiful, 906. But anyway, I'll leave that with you. But that dear man came, that deacon, and he read. He said, I'm going to read Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verse 8 is this, friends. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Maybe that's the word you need today, friends. If it is, praise him for it. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way in which thou shalt go. Ah, young people, maybe in the way you've got to walk, maybe you need to make a decision. I will instruct thee. Take it to him. Lay it before him. It's only the Lord that can make a way for you, you know. He will show you if you lay it before him. I know we have to wait often. Men have to wait till evening late. But the Lord does come and he will show you his way. Yes. And often wait. Men faint because of where the Lord will leave it till the 11th hour. But it's beautiful when he does come. I will guide thee. Guide thee with mine eye. So young friends, lean upon him in these things. In your pathway and in your soul matters too. But you see, my dear father then, well, he had his blessing. He had his word. And even he was able to tell the deacon then and there, you see. The Lord worked that all out. The way was made. He said to him, as he was so full, as he lay in his bed of affliction, still the Lord appeared with that true token. Friends, this is it. The work of the Lord is perfect. As for God, his way is perfect. Remember it, friends. Remember it if your way is currently tried. There's perfection in it. Oh, you say, come on. There's not in my way. If you knew what I was walking in at the moment, you would not say there's perfection in my pathway. Friends, if you knew what I was walking through at the moment, I could also say the same. But there is when the Lord shows us his way is perfect. And he is bringing us through those times of trial that we might lean harder and harder. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness, leaning upon her beloved? Is it not the very soul that looks to Jesus? Is it not one that loves him? Oh, friends, does that encapsulate you? Does it encapsulate me? The word token appears 14 times in Scripture, friends. I think that's quite a lot. And I think it's because the Lord shows tokens from now and again. And you know, it's so beautiful that he would record that word should be used. I feel that sometimes the word of God, well, it staggers me. It staggers me, and there's so much teaching in it. And the very beginning was, we look on, certainly in Kent, we've had lots of rain the last week or so. So many floods. But he's first, I do set my bow in the cloud, he says, and it shall be for a token of the covenant between me and the earth, that he will not flood the world again. Oh, the covenant of God, the token. You see, the first token there given, as it were, in that use of that word in Scripture. But what I found so beautiful was this word of promise. And maybe you need it this morning, friend. A word of promise to Moses. And the Lord said, this certainly I will be with thee. Do you need a certainly? Just one word. The definite nature of that word, certainly. Is that what you need, friends? Oh, I do feel it's what I need. Certainly I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. This shall be a token unto thee. Yes, and ye shall serve God upon this very mountain. Oh, my dear friends, may we have something of the blessing of Moses. But I thought about this Rahab. What was the sign? What was the token? Yes, we read, do we not, that she was delivered and her household. They stayed in the house. We read it a few chapters later. You can read it at your leisure. How wonderful it was that she and her family were delivered. They must be delivered. We said what a sinner she was. We said that the Lord had showed her what wonderful things that he had done to the Israelites, for the Israelites. Well, that dear woman knew the Lord Jesus Christ. She was to marry Salmon. She was to bring forth Boaz. Boaz in the line of Christ. Ah, polluted sinner in the line of Christ. It's beautiful, friends. the gospel message. Ah, so if you come in this morning, you feel polluted, you feel you can say, as we sang, foul I to the fountain fly. Yes, foul, foul, foul. That's what we are. And yet, so was Rahab. Poor sinner, poor sinner. She's there now. And may you and I prove that our sins are not beyond the Saviour's love. But you see, the sign, what was the sign we were coming on to? It was the scarlet cord. The scarlet cord in the window. And friends, I have to ask you this morning, in the window of your soul, in the window of my soul, is there the scarlet cord? Is it there hanging there, friends? The blood of Christ, which alone can cleanse from all sin. Has it been placed there by his love upon us? Oh, you say, there's a cord there, but it's so faded. I wish I could see it again. Oh, friends, what a lovely wish. That's you desiring a true token, isn't it? Oh, it is. Yes, that cord. That cord. The men were let down by the cord. They escaped by the cord. And she would escape by the cord. And we each will escape by the cord of his precious sin-atoning sacrifice. It's our only way of escape. How shall we escape, friends, if we neglect so great a salvation? So lay hold of that in prayer. Oh, Lord, grant me salvation. Lord, show me thyself. Teach me that thou art able to yet reveal something of the love of God to my heart. Bring me to the hymn of Joseph Irons. That precious blood. What voice is that which speaks for me in heaven's high court for good and has my soul at freedom set? It's the cord. 'Tis Jesus. Precious blood, friends. It's that cord. Can you see it? Oh, you want to touch the cord, don't you? It's a cord in your soul. Friends, though it may feel that it's nearly gone out of sight, that cord, you know, I feel it's like the robe of righteousness once applied to him, writer says, it's always on. The cord is always there. Your faith is dim. You can't see it today. But that cord is still there, friends. That cord is still there. That was the sign. That was the sign. Oh, precious sign. These are deep things, I know, but it's the blood of Christ. Oh, to desire it, to desire it. Friends, to desire it. Well, the blood, the Passover. We know, don't we, that the Passover was something that was given, that the destroying angel would destroy the firstborn. He would go pass through Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt will I execute judgment. Judgment. I am the Lord. He's executing judgment with this coronavirus, friends. And we need much wisdom and, as we try to pray, much knowledge and help to know how to pray, to know how to seek the Lord in it, that those that we love and love for the truth's sake might be preserved, but also that there is not that mass hysteria which we can easily become part of. Yes, to be sensible and to follow the sensible precautions, friends, but I had no intention of speaking in this way, but as it comes upon me, We do live in a 21st century, and it is such a judgment of God, I feel, in the world. But oh, to be given wisdom then, to pray over it, and not to overreact, but to lay it up, to lay it all my times shall ever be. Yes,
ordered by his wise decree, to truly prove, as we sang in that hymn, that no sickness can come upon us unless it comes from the Lord. To remember that as children of the faith, as followers of our Lord Jesus, regarding that virus. But you know, friends, judgment. And we deserve it too. Does not judgment begin at the house of God? Does it not begin in our own souls and in our own hearts? It does, you know, if we're true believers. Oh, we can't soften the word. I can't soften the appeal, friends. The truth is, judgment does begin at the house of God. And God's judgment is solemn. And it begins with us. But, His favour. His favour is upon His dear people too. And they will acknowledge these things. Because they will have been taught them and shown them. And why? Because they know there's nothing in themselves they see. That all is in the Saviour. All is in the Lord. But the Passover. We come, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And he goes on to say, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the Saviour's blood upon your sin-tainted soul, I will pass over you, and you will not be destroyed. You will not go to hell, because my honour and my name's at stake to save you from the burning lake, poor sinner. Oh, what a word. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Oh, friends, I do hope you know that you might be, even, and I might be, like one that came to mind when I was pondering this word. And that was a Caleb's daughter. You know, she said this, give me a blessing. Give me a blessing. There was given me a southland, a land that faces the sun, a land that's going to be full of plenty. It's not sufficient. Please give me also springs of water. The water springing up. Oh, there's a gospel in this again. What did Caleb do? Did he ignore her request? Ah, no. Had love to his... love to his daughter, didn't he? And this is what he did. He gave her the upper springs and the nether springs. The upper springs, friends, those gifts pertaining, those blessings for heaven, the blessings of the soul, the upper springs. And the nether springs, the springs here below, are the springs in providence. All my springs are in thee. Friends, if the Lord seals that to you today, that will be a true token. All my springs are in thee. That's what the psalmist had to say. The upper springs and the nether springs. What a desire. Friends, keep on pleading with those desires that are in your heart. The Lord knows them. The Lord knows them. And you know, there are those signs that he gives us. He doesn't necessarily give us the word. I thought of Esther. You know what it was with Esther too. They were fasting and she had to go and stand up for the Jews. She had to go in God's providence before the king. And if I perish, I perish. She had to go. What was the sign? What was a sign of wonder? And that's what you want, isn't it? The King of Kings to hold his golden scepter to you. Well, he held the king, and the king held to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Oh, may you and I touch the scepter today, friends. Oh, and then we'll have a true blessing. And then we'll be full of the favour of the Lord like Naphtali of old. Oh, that's what we truly desire, isn't it, if we desire these things? Yes. Dear, dear Esther. And then, of course, later, friends, and I would have you to notice that later, she saw the deliverance. For the time being, she touched the king's, that the king had held out the scepter. And that's how it is with the Lord sometimes. He doesn't give us that immediate blessing that we seek. We have to wait for it. We have to pray on for it. We have to plead on. But he does hold out the golden scepter. He gives us access at the throne of grace. You know, sometimes we come away from our prayers and we feel like, I've had access.
Sometimes nothing has changed with respect to the trouble that we're in and the difficulty that's upon us, but unburdening and the Lord gives us words to pour out, whether outwardly or in our head. It gives us that prayer, and we can't, and sometimes no words. Sometimes no words. We can only look up to the Lord Jesus. We're in such trouble, or we've known that, friends. But you see, in those times, still, there is that feeling of this, that the Lord will yet come, and yet he gives us that encouragement to pray on. And I can't give it to you, friends, but I would that the Lord would come in and truly encourage you through this poor servant's attempts to preach this morning, that you would go on, that you will still seek for that blessing, and that because you are seeking, you're amongst the seekers, and they shall find. They must find. Ah, the word of God is clear on that. They must find that token. That token. It may be there is a collective desire for a token as a church and people. It may be in some particular. Friends, I have no idea what you're walking in. I believe you've had your tokens, but you want something for the future, something for the Lord to do, something in your midst that you've not seen heretofore. You've not walked this way heretofore. Friends, I don't know what your exercises are, but I believe this. Lay it up before the Lord Jesus and he will make a way. He will open the door. You will see his work in the midst of the years. And you will see him doing this, providing a way. Yes, the rich provision of the Lord. He has a rich feast. He has a way which is a way of perfection for you as a people. Friends, I don't know why I'm speaking in this way, but I must speak as our Master leads us. And I do feel this, friends, that there are those times of collective exercise and collective burden. And I, the Lord, will hear their prayers. Yes. That you may yet see that though there is much opposition in your own heart, much opposition in many ways, that the Lord, he it is that doth go with you, thee, he will not fail thee. May you prove it. And may we each prove it. Well, may we be sustained, friends. We feel to have remarkably failed. But that's good, because power belongeth unto God and not unto man. But just one thing that is upon my mind. Hezekiah says this, what is the sign? In other words, what is the token? What's the sign that I shall go up unto the house of God? And what is the sign for you and me? Is it not that we have a desire to see Jesus, to see no man save Jesus only? May it ever be our desire as we go into his house. May the Lord bless these few remarks. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £805, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Seymour will address the Sunday school this afternoon. Mr. Chapman will preach on Friday evening. And Mr. Jonathan Buss will preach next Lord's Day. And there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock next Lord's Day. And the collections next Lord's Day are for the Trinitarian Bible Society auxiliary in this area. There will also, God willing, be a trustee meeting on Monday evening, tomorrow. And our friends at Oakington hope to hold their Trinitarian Bible Society meeting on Wednesday. And let us close with hymn 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn 698.
My soul and us. Forgive anything thy pure and holy eyes have seen amiss. And Lord, do grant thy gracious help at the Sunday school this afternoon and also this evening. Lord, bless us all. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.